This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
What's up, people? Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe. But today, we got a very special guest. This dude is super talented. He's made a name for himself by street performing on Fremont Street here in Las Vegas. He's appeared on the NBC's 4 and other major networks. It's super dope to have him on the show. Everybody give it up for Dylan Jacob. Let's go.
Sure, you sure? Double check? Okay, yo.
All right.
Welcome to the E-Square Podcast. I'm your hoe, or I'm your hoe. It's not your hoe. I said I'm your hoe. I'm newly back single.
$20 is $20,
bro. $20 is $20. Yo, today we got the Vegas legend. We got the motherfucking, hometown hero in this bitch, yo.
You feel me?
Yeah, Dylan Jacob. What's up, man?
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Highly favored.
All right, well, let's revisit because we just had a whole little conversation. But
a little powwow.
Now that we're on recording again, we're good. Okay.
Yeah.
Yo, shout out to Chef, the management for the communication.
Yes, sir,
everything.
Manager slash producer slash fucking brother slash life coach of the year.
So when you guys, you said you've been rocking for like 2 years now.
At least.
Yeah, so you guys, were you looking for management at that time?
Really, I've been through a couple managers, man.
Oh, really?
I've been through a couple of just bad situations. People who you know, in the industry, there's a lot of cap. There's a lot of people who literally are the best fucking fakers you will ever meet in your life. Like, I promise you, some real actors, like crazy, crazy shit. But, I always envisioned myself having a manager like Chef, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Which was like someone who I just trust, who I could build with, someone who, you know, has not only just an amazing work ethic, but someone who got just like a story with it as well, you know what I'm saying? And someone who just wasn't like giving this shit, you feel me?
Just like me,
someone who could relate to me, and I feel like, you know, with Chef, he cares about me as much as I care about me. And that's important, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, management, bro, like, you know, it's funny because I've been on the other end. Like, I've been an artist manager, you know what I mean? And it's the biggest factor is trust, you know, when you're in a situation like that. So that's good you found somebody, bro. That's good. And he makes your beats, too?
Yeah, man, that is the GOAT, man.
That's in-house. You got it all in-house.
No, see, that's where it started, man. Where it started. He told me, he was like, man, I make beats and
You
feel me? And, we linked up.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it was always just like, I seen it from day one, though. His work ethic is just crazy, man. You're talking about a guy who literally every hour of his day will be scheduled, time-plotted, on a calendar and board, like
super organized,
super like just.
I'm not that way at all.
For real, I'm not that at all. But I crave to be that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's what I want to be. Like, I want to be someone who has all their shit in a row and like can make sure that everything is on time. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So.
That seems like a lot of work, man.
Bro, exactly. That's why I was like, yo, man.
Respect the fuck out of somebody.
I was like, yo, man, come on, be my manager, man. You know, I don't want to do this shit.
Yeah.
Like, for real. I told him, I was like, man, I've never met nobody in my life with, like, even if he does something that he knows he's not supposed to do, stays up late, whatever the fuck, he's still up 5 in the morning the next day working out. Doing whatever, no excuses, you know what I'm saying? Taking all of his vitamins and fucking, like, he's literally like those,
he's like
that
OCD,
guy.
OCD
like that guy, for real, like vitamins every day, like fish oils and supplements and all this shit to make you like work at your pristine fucking condition.
Taking the blue pills and shit.
For real, it's like living Matrix with that guy.
That's dope, bro. I'm glad you got somebody in your corner that that you feel comfortable with and that you trust, because yo, that shit, like, being it, I'm sure you've seen it too, bro. Having the wrong people in your corner can fucking take you down the dark road real quick.
Yeah, man. It can lose you a lot of connections too, you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone thinks, oh, so I'm going to go be with so-and-so because so-and-so can introduce me to so-and-so. But, like, at the end of the day, the introduction that you got from that person might not be the introduction that you needed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So, yeah, you might meet that person, but it might stop there just because it was the wrong timing, the wrong people that you put yourself around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. And shout out to Chris, too, while we're doing shout outs. Yo, how'd you meet Chris?
Look, man, I met Chris through Chef, too.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, shout out Chris connecting the dots on this interview.
You know what
I'm saying?
Because Chris, that's my man right there, honestly. And shout out Breezy too.
Shout out Breezy.
If it wasn't for Breezy,
me and Chris
probably wouldn't be so close. Really, I met Chris through Chef. Mm-hmm. He reached out to Chef for some beats.
Yeah.
For Breezy, can you do some original beats for him? And Chef was already managing me at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was like, look at this guy. Like, he shoots everything for his kid.
Yeah.
And I seen the little visuals he did for his kid.
It was hard in the house. That one in the house.
I was like, damn. I'm like, whoa, this shit low key. Yeah. All right, this shit kind of fire, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then I was like, damn, the kid is pretty tight, though.
Yeah.
Like, I told Chef right away, I'm like, fuck the visual.
Literally, swag to him,
literally, like Chris is my man and everything, but I ain't even gonna lie. At first, I was like, fuck the visual. Yeah, yeah. Who's the kid? Like, the kid is tight, you feel me? So that's how we really linked up, is I was like, man, I just, you know, I wish I had somebody when I was first, and Breezy is a fucking monster. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Breezy is a no excuses, mm-hmm. recording off fucking Adobe Pro, like not even software made for recording and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like no excuses, like and still
12 years old and shit.
13, still over here making slappers, you know what I'm saying? So that was
inspires you in a
man,
weird way.
I try to surround myself by that. That's always inspiration for me, especially from coming from a younger generation too, someone who's younger than me. Like bro, you got school, you got all this other shit that you gotta worry about, hormones and everything else going, you know what I'm saying? And the fact that you are still so dedicated, like, to your craft, and no one can tell you no, that inspires me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
and I wish at his age, when I was coming up, you know what I'm saying, that I had somebody who, like, made it their personal goal, like, to make sure my shit came out tight, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And really, that's just, you know, the role that I've tried to play for Breezy has always been like, you know what I'm saying? Look, if you take my advice, you do. If you don't, you don't. Mm-hmm. But I think this would be tight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that's dope, bro. Yeah, he's like your little protege now.
Yeah, like my little brother. You know what I'm saying? That's my little man.
Yeah, that's super dope. Let's switch the positions, though. When you were, 13?
14. When I got into music, 13, 14.
Oh, for real? That's when you started?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have nobody to, like, guide
Man,
you?
Man, I actually had people who were way out of my caliber of work,
For real?
I ain't even gonna lie. Like, my first ever industry experience was with this lady by the name of Lauren Christie.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just... I mean, you're talking about... She wrote Skater Boy for Avril Lavigne.
She wrote Jason
Mraz songs and Jason Derulo songs, mm-hmm. and she wrote fucking Me, Myself, and I from Bebe Rexha and G-Eazy and like super just like outrageous hits, you know what I'm saying? Hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
Her husband was responsible for one of Justin Bieber's albums, mm-hmm. and they had a huge record label back in the day, and like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm working with this caliber of artists, and I'm realizing
when you're 14?
Yeah,
oh,
and
shit.
When I first got into music,
yeah.
like, I had no experience. I'd never been in the studio before.
How'd that happen, though?
Well, my first manager,
He
made the connection, and basically, they went back because he was friends with this guy, James Bourne. And James Bourne...
Sounds like an assassin's name
or something. Bro, he's a fucking rock star, bro. He's a fucking rock star from the UK. So, you know that song from the Jonas Brothers? I went to the year 3000. You know that shit?
No.
Bro, it was a
hit.
Maybe
if I heard it, probably
it was a hit.
It, yeah.
Some Jonas Brothers shit, right? But that's not their song. Mm. That's this band called Busted in the UK. And James Bourne was like one of the main people in Busted.
Oh, okay.
So they got back together, sold out tours in the UK, like going crazy, right? Like legends in the UK, mm-hmm. like some real like rock band shit, you know what I'm saying? And so he knew Lauren because Lauren's from the UK.
Okay.
And so we all just connected because the guy that picked me up originally, he knew him from, like, back in his college days in the dorm room, like, just fucking making YouTube videos and shit like that. So I met all of them, you know what I'm saying? And I started working with these amazing artists, and I'm realizing, like, now, you know what I'm saying, that it definitely probably was a lot more than I was ready for at the time, you know what I'm saying? Because these are, like, people who, you know, they write hits and they work fast and they don't go
like, overwhelming and shit.
Yeah, like, they...
Did you know at that age, though, with, like, sitting in the room with them, did you know what was going on and shit?
I mean,
like, did you know the extent of, like, their accomplishments and shit?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. I knew who I was with. I knew who I was with, 100%. I did all my research, you know what I'm saying? Like, but it was one of those things where it's, like, you have to walk into it with a blind confidence if you're not already confident.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you're not even going to last 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I had the look and I had, you know, the confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it came to, like, the time to really, like, put that shit down, you feel me? She's writing these amazing hooks and I'm coming in with verses that are shit, like trash. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
What were you rapping about?
Bro, literally, like,
like location.
The simplest, like, I mean, not, like, honestly, it still had, like, depth to it.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, the way it was said was whack.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Your delivery, yeah.
Yeah, like, I was always a wordsmith, you know? Mm-hmm. I always played with words. Mm-hmm. So I was always good with words. But but really, it was one of those things where it was just, like, you know, I just started music. So you can't expect me to be tight. Like,
right.
I wasn't tight, you feel me? But I had this blinding confidence that I was.
Yeah.
Because before that, I'd already been on the street rapping for, like, a year and a half, just freestyling.
When you're 13?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And so, like, I wasn't tight, but I'm getting money like I'm tight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are giving me money like I'm tight.
Yeah.
So I'm getting this blinding confidence of like, nah, fuck you, I'm tight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck what you're saying. I'm making money.
Yeah.
Like, they're giving me money to do this. If I wasn't tight, why would I be making money?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which, in all reality, like, bro, confidence will take you so far in life. You feel me?
Yeah. I heard you say that term before. I think it was your interview that Chris did with you with the girl shaking ass, the blind. Mm-hmm. You mentioned blind confidence. And where does that come from? Because, I think you've accomplished a lot, and you've gotten a lot of notoriety, and you know, and you've been in front of so many people. Just being on downtown Fremont for so long, like, where does that, like, artists don't go through that, you know? Like, most artists, they're gonna go to perform at a show where probably people want to see them, or they're gonna open up for fans that want to be there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But it's different when you're like on the street and you're like,
you have to stop the people.
You
the people don't
want to
stop for
it.
You.
Yeah, you have to earn their attention.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, exactly. And that's before you earn any money at all.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so honestly, it came from this realization that I had young, and I realized that I was stopping myself from blossoming and prohibiting myself from capturing so many opportunities because I was scared of what people would think of me.
Mm.
And so I started thinking, I was like, I'm rapping a tourist.
Yeah.
I'm never going to see these people ever again.
Right. Take the pressure off yourself a little bit.
I'm like, what the fuck do I care what they think?
Yeah.
I don't care what they think.
Yeah.
Why would I care what they think? Because at the end of the day, you're going to give me money either because you like me or because you're laughing at me or because your girl thinks I'm cute or whatever the hell it is. You're going to give me money for it.
Right.
So after I have your money, my goal is accomplished. Like, I knew what my goal out there was.
Yeah.
Like, my goal was to get your money. My goal wasn't, like, starting out on Fremont, my goal wasn't to be a rapper. My goal was to get money. Like, that's why I started doing it.
Yeah.
You feel me? And then I developed, like, a real passion for the art of rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, the actual craft itself. Like, I always had love for the genre.
Mm-hmm.
Music was always in my blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't till I put myself in the situation to really experience the shit that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like, I never realized I was good at it until I got out. And, like, the thing that made me confident as well was, like, I'm standing next to people on the block that have been doing this for years, years. And we're getting the same reactions. So I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, if these people are reacting the same, then that means that we're, like, on the same level.
Yeah.
So you've been doing this for years. I just started this. That's how I just thought about it in my head all the time. Yeah. I was like, I just started this. I have so much time. That's one thing I always try to tell myself. It's like, the one thing I know is I know nothing at all.
Yeah.
I don't know shit. Yeah. And I'll be the first one to say that. Like, I don't know nothing. All I know is that I don't know nothing. Yeah, and that's all. Because if I keep that mentality, I'm going to learn everything. And I'm going to absorb everything that's put around me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Damn, that's so crazy, bro. Were you like a public speaker in school?
Man.
Or not?
Actually, I was a... rounding the end, like 8th grade, 7th grade, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's when I started doing, like, I did a little bit of public speaking for JDRF and shit.
What's that?
So, Junior Diabetic Research Foundation.
Oh, what the fuck?
Because I'm type 1 diabetic.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
So,
what do you eat?
I mean, I could eat whatever. I just got to take insulin.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because my pancreas doesn't create insulin.
Oh, damn.
So, I did some speaking for them and shit when I was younger. Then really after that, really I was always a good speaker.
Really?
But it wasn't like...
You didn't like it
publicly speaking.
Oh, okay.
I was bad at publicly speaking for a while.
Did you like freeze up and get all scared and shit?
It's just the nerves, what I'm saying? It's just the nerves. Like, the nerves gets to everybody, especially like practice. That's really what it is. It's practice. Yeah. It's that, like, I had that feeling every night before Fremont, before... Mm-hmm. Like, before too long, it just goes away. You know what I'm saying? I've done 100,000 hours of, like you said, I'm stopping people who don't even want to fucking see me.
Yeah.
Like they didn't come to hear rap music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, leading up to it is way worse. And then once it starts.
Once the ice is broke, you're there. Like,
So let's go back to, I want to know when and what the first, like, your first or the decision to go on Fremont in rap. You know, like, how old were you? You said you were, like, 13?
Yeah, I was, like, 13,
and you
14.
Were out there. So, like, who was with you? And, like, what was the decision process in doing that?
Because
at 13, bro, I couldn't imagine being, like,
Man, I always wanted to make money, man. Yeah. That was the thing. It was, like, I was 13, and I was looking up jobs, like, that I could do. But I didn't live in no neighborhood where you could, like, go mow people's lawns or clean people's lawns. I lived in the budget suites, you feel me?
Yeah.
So I lived in little studio apartments that, you know what I'm saying, you're not even supposed to talk to your neighbors. Like, So as a kid, I would walk around, and I would knock on people's doors, and I'd be like, hey, can I take your trash out for 50 cents? Can I take your trash out? Can I take your trash out? You know what I'm saying? And, that's how I make money, like, just to wash my clothes, just to, like, do shit that I felt was needed, but, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't always top priority for, like, the family I was living with at the time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, really, it was just, that was where it came from originally, was I went down to Fremont with my mom. It was her birthday. And I'm seeing
that's
these.
Some fake as shit, bro.
No, for real.
Going down to Fremont with your mom.
Yeah.
For her birthday when you're like 13, bro.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I'm down there and I see performers and shit, and they all making money. They're making some bread, you know what I'm saying? Or at least I'm thinking they are. Like, by the money I'm seeing going in, they're making some money. Yeah. And I seen somebody rapping out there who actually, at the end of the day, it turns out, was fake anyway, so, like, I don't even like to mention his name no more.
You
know
what
I'm
saying? Get,
Those who shall not be named, you feel me? But,
you don't deserve no air.
Yeah, I seen him out there, and I'm like, yo, like, what's up? Can I start rapping? Or, like, let me try. You feel me? And he was like, are you good?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, let me try, you feel me? And I did, like, little Christian raps, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, because I was like a church kid.
Oh, really?
You feel me? Like, I always lived in, like, the worst neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. I always lived in, like I was a budget suites baby.
Yeah, I watched the episode you did. That was dope. I like that shit. Yeah,
I appreciate that. But at the same time, you know what I'm saying, I always felt like my family at home were always still, like, loving individuals, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, even if they had weird ways of showing it.
Yeah.
Like, so... So I was always in the church too, like when I was a kid, and that was because
what
my grandma.
What kind of church?
Christian. I grew up Christian.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. But that was because my grandma was like super church lady. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what all like retired entertainers do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, all retired entertainers go.
Oh,
and
your grandma was an entertainer too?
Yeah.
Oh, what'd she do?
Yeah, so she sings.
Oh, okay.
Well, she sung.
So, okay, so now, okay.
Yeah, yeah, so that's really where my inspiration for music in the first place came from. That's why I say like music is in my blood, is because like I grew up hearing about these like rock star stories of my grandma going on tour, like opening it up for like Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra. Yeah, the only reason they came to Vegas is because she had residency at a hotel out here called the Stardust. And
the Stardust is iconic, bro.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's how they came out here. It was literally just she had residency, and then my dad was like 11 or 12 at the time, and so like he'd never been to real school, and she just told my grandpa, like, my grandpa met my grandma because she used to sing for the army, and he was in the army. You feel me? So it's like all a cycle. Music is literally the glue that brought my whole family together. Like, that's, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for music. And that's literal. Like, not even for some, like, music saved my life, which music did save my life multiple times. Yeah. But, like, on some real, like, just history, I would not be here. Like, my family tree would not exist if it wasn't for music.
That's crazy. You know? Did your mom sing, too?
No. Tone deaf.
Your dad?
My dad, he dabbles, but he's not what he used to be. Let's just say that.
Damn, man, that's so crazy. Now I'm connecting all the dots, because I was, you know, I'm curious on how, you know, you're only 18 right now, and you've accomplished so much in such a short time, and you know, I'm just curious, bro, into what, like, how this all got to be, bro. But that makes sense now.
Man, it's all just a puzzle, you know what I'm saying? Life is crazy, man. Everything happens for a reason, and that's one thing I had to get through my head, too, at, like, a young age, you know? I was always that's the thing about my dad. Like, I was raising my dad, you feel me? But the whole time, I didn't know, like, I'm getting, like, emotionally and, like, mentally fucked up.
Yeah.
Because my dad is bipolar, doesn't want to admit he's bipolar. So doesn't take no medicine, no nothing. He'll make shit up in his head and believe that shit's true. Mm. You feel me? So I'm over here as a kid, and, like, it was weird. It was, like, half my life I was, like, ultra sheltered, where, like, all he wanted me watching was VeggieTales. Type shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
Because he thought he was being some like extra good parent.
Yeah, he didn't want you outside or something.
Shit. But then he didn't want me doing anything inside either. So I just like spent my time as like a loner, like kid in the corner. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then like the other half of the time, like, was like I was just running the fucking streets with my homies, like, and
so it's like,
you know,
it was
nobody
like,
really knew.
Extreme opposites and shit.
Yeah, and it was like my mom was always made out to be the bad parent in my life. You feel me? And I never even had the experience. Like, I never had that experience till I was, like, 13, 14.
Oh, really? So that's you didn't live with your mom at all, really?
No. I seen my mom, like, once, twice a year before that. Damn. So, like...
As man.
Yeah. And then my siblings are on my mother's side.
Oh, shit.
So I didn't see none of my siblings either. So I was like, that's what I'm saying. That's where it was hard for me, because I always had this magnetic personality, but I was this super introverted individual because I was kept inside, like, literally, like... Almost like it's almost like that Harry Potter story.
Yeah.
You feel me? Where it's like on the outside, everything looks nice.
Yeah.
You have this nice little sweater and this nice little family and this nice little car.
Yeah.
You feel me? But it's like on the inside, it's like, bro, you're locked in a closet.
Yeah.
Can't do shit. You just sit in your thoughts all day. You feel me?
Yeah.
And like emotionally, that's where I went through the most like abuse and shit was with my dad.
Mm.
Because emotionally, like I said, you know, it's not his fault. He's fucking sick. But like I didn't realize, because I didn't have any other experience
until
after I was like 13.
You thought that was normal.
Yeah, because that's when I got diagnosed with my diabetes.
Mm.
So my dad couldn't pay the medical bills. And basically, like, that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Did your mom live? So your mom, during those times, your mom didn't live here?
No, my mom always lived in Vegas.
Okay.
Like, she was always around, but my dad didn't want me seeing my mom.
Oh, they were on bad terms.
Yeah,
so, okay,
like,
okay.
Well, my dad, that's the thing about my dad. It's like my dad blames everything on somebody else.
Mm.
You feel me? At the end of the day, it's always somebody else's fault.
Mm.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I love the guy. It's just he has his fucking shit that he can't get over. And, like,
how's your guys' relationship today?
I haven't seen him in, like... 3 years.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Is
but
he out here still?
No, he's in like Nashville, but I actually just called him today.
Really?
Yeah, I'm trying to mend. I realize, man, time is precious, bro.
Yeah, man.
You can't get that shit back.
And it flies, bro.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about like my grandma. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know. Even after everything that goes on, after everything that somebody puts you through, there has to be a point in your life where you just have to be like, you know what I'm saying? What's done is done. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you're going to continue to act the same way, I can't change that. Like, I can't change who you are. That doesn't mean I have to surround myself with you, but I could love you from a distance. You know what I'm saying? That's my dad. I'll always have love for my dad. Like, that's just some real shit.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how cruelly I was taught the lessons, he did teach me lessons, you feel me? So it was like...
There's always something you could take from it, you know?
Exactly. That taught me so much about no loss is a loss. Like, everything can be a lesson. Mm-hmm. That's really what a lot of that experience taught me. It was like I'm over here. Instead of using this mindset of like, oh, why did this happen to me? Woe is me. Like, all this stuff. Like, I could tell you some crazy stories. You feel me? It's like, instead of doing that, I really just flipped it. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm grown. I'm grown. Like, I've been through a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I experienced a lot of shit that I shouldn't have to experience.
Right.
You feel me? And that was like my dad's favorite thing to say is like, I'm getting you prepared for how cruel the world is. Mm. Like, that's what he used to say to me.
Like, he's doing you a favor.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it's the mind of a sick person, bro.
Yeah. It's all about perspective, for real. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad you came out, like, you know what I'm saying? Turning out all right over here.
You
man.
Feel me? It had to happen to somebody. Mm-hmm. You feel me? It had to happen to somebody down the line. So somebody had to turn out right.
Yeah, man. So how is... Do you consider yourself famous in any way, or do you?
Man, I just consider myself Dylan.
Do you feel famous?
Because
you're a face definitely in Vegas. Like people know who you are, bro.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Especially after the four, but even before
Vegas
that,
is so hating though. I'm not even gonna lie.
What you know what I'm saying?
Like they hate
on you.
No, it's just that's like our culture.
Yeah,
like our culture.
Yeah, we're trying to get there. We're mean.
You know what I'm saying? Like we want to support everything in Vegas after they've shown us reason to support. You know what I'm saying? And I'm guilty of that as much as the next man. You know what I'm saying? Like Vegas is more of a competition city.
Yeah,
it's like it's always been like that.
I think it's all just still new to us.
Yeah, really. No one has cracked the culture yet.
Yeah.
And that's really what I aim to be, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody coming from Vegas ain't from Vegas. Like, I'm really born and raised here. Like, my whole life spent out here.
I love it here, as a kid.
I can't say some of the best neighborhoods, but I've been in some of the worst neighborhoods that you could stay out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I've been in, like, mid-class neighborhoods too. And I've experienced the best neighborhoods. Like I've had experience over there. Like I really feel like I've had every experience Vegas could offer before you turn 21. And that's not a lie.
You feel me?
But like
it's so much
at the same time, you feel me? Because I tell people all the time, I'm like, bro, I don't think you really understand the struggle like people be talking about like coming from Vegas until you're under 21 growing up in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have all the blinders.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have the drugs. You don't have the parties and the clubs and the this and that to keep you paying attention to like what's in front of your face.
You
get to see all the behind the dirty, the you know, under pocket, the cheating and the lying, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think our culture really, you feel me? That's our biggest problem is no one's cracked it yet.
Yeah.
And so, like, no, like, really, honestly, if you're from Vegas, what do you have that is Vegas that is ours? You know what I'm saying? And I feel like we're finally starting to get there. We're getting professional sports teams.
Yeah.
Shout out the Raiders. Yeah. Shout out the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Have you been to a game? Yeah, man. I went to a Golden Knights game.
Yeah,
I haven't been to a Raiders
game
yet, though. I want to go to a Raiders game,
man. Yeah, Golden Knights are cracking. Those games are cracking.
Man.
But to go back on what you said, like, I think it's just, we're just building an identity. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't have nothing to latch on to.
There's no face. There's no face yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody is going to have a sound.
Yeah.
Like, especially musically wise. You know what I'm saying? And
who do you like? Who do you like out here from Vegas? Like, who's some artists that catch your eye or catch your ear?
Bro. honestly, like, I couldn't see my thing.
No, that's
like,
cool.
I know artists out here, but they're not from here. Okay. Like, I know that for a fact. And so it's like, for me to be Las Vegas artists that are hot right now is this person, this person, this person, knowing that they're not from here, like, I can't say that. Like that. I feel like that's how our culture gets so fucked up. Is because it's like, everyone always wants to be like, yo, shout out da-da-da, and shout out this person, that person, and they're never from here, you feel me? So it's like, they get known for a city that isn't.
Yeah, it's definitely like a transient town a lot. But, you know, we got some players out here, I think. But it's hard for, when I ask that question to artists, it's different. Like, I expect a different answer because I'm a fan.
I mean, you want to know who I really like from out here?
Yeah.
Panic at the Disco.
Okay.
Fucking.
he pulled out the.
What's their name?
The Dragons.
Imagine Dragons. Yeah, Imagine Dragons. You know, I fuck with them.
Yeah. People don't even talk about Vegas. People don't talk about that. Yeah.
But like, that's.
Yeah, because we're in hip hop. We're in the hip hop lane, I guess you want to say so. Mm-hmm. But really, it's all just music, bro. It all, you know, blends in together. But. Yeah, when I ask artists that, I don't really expect, I don't know, because if I was an artist, I wouldn't want to listen to nobody else, really, because I would get too influenced. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nah, it's not like, see, for me, that's inspiration, bro. Yeah. If I see another man working and I feel like they work harder than me,
yeah,
I'm going to go harder.
Yeah.
You feel me? Because I don't want to be outworked.
Right.
I never want to be outworked. So anytime I feel like I'm getting outworked, like, I got to step my game up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I really don't. Maybe it's just the fact that I do keep my sources very, very low. You know what I'm saying? I keep my outside sources very, very low because I don't want too much influence on what I do. But at the same time, like, that's all I do at the same time. You feel me? I freestyle. Like, that's really what I'm known for. Yeah. That's really the most hours that I've put in musically. So that's really what I've made my selling point out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm so good at being able to mimic and do something better, or I'm so good at being able to like pick somebody's style up and put it back down, you know what I'm saying, but make it my own, and like that's come from so many hours of just doing different types of beats and different types of crowds. So you have to know like what the consumer that you're pitching to is gonna eat, you know what I'm saying. Like,
what's the last show you did, like, outside of Fremont, like, on the stage? And how was that? Like, and is that, like, way different?
I think my last show was either the Hard Rock.
Hard Rock Live?
Or this Day in Vegas after party shit.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh,
damn. But that was a minute ago, man.
That was last year.
Yeah, that was a minute ago.
Damn, Vegas was dope.
Yeah, that was a minute. I was supposed to headline the UNLV rally this year.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I was supposed to headline that this year, but that got canceled because of the whole COVID. You know what I'm saying? And I had a couple out of state dates too, but those got canceled.
Yeah, you gotta get up out of state, man.
Yeah, man. Like I said, people, Boozy said it the best. Yeah. Like, people hate you where you're from, man.
Yeah.
It's real, but it's sad, but it's real. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's like, how many times have you been sitting next to somebody and looking at their plate and comparing it to yours? And we all do it. We all do it. It's natural, bro. But it's like, some people don't know how to get themselves out of that mindset ever.
Or control it. There's levels to it, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, it could be a competition that could be good.
A healthy competition. Gatorade said it the best. You'll never reach your full maximum potential until you get a rival.
Exactly.
Like, a rival will push you to be something that you never thought you were going to be.
It'll bring it out of you.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went on the floor with P. Diddy and DJ Khaled and Meghan Trainor, you feel me? After I was trying to get on the rap game for years.
Yeah.
I was literally sending, real quick story. I literally bought fucking plane tickets, VIP passes to the rap game's tour, and the closest city they were going to Vegas was St. Louis.
shit.
So I went all the way out to St. Louis, flew me and my sister out,
yeah.
Got VIP backstage passes so that we could meet and greet and all that shit, right? Yeah, just because I wanted to meet Jermaine Dupri. That's all I wanted to do. Yeah. I just wanted to meet him and shake his hand, and I wanted to, like, let him know, like, look, I'm going to work for this shit. So yeah. You just got to pay a little bit of attention.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Even if I'm not where I'm supposed to be at right now,
yeah.
Don't worry. Give me, like, a couple years, and I'm going to be there. I went, stood in the line, everything like that, hours, fucking spent, like, over a band. And I'm 15, you know, 16, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And bro didn't even show up to his own meet and greet.
You were heartbroken.
I swear. Oh, bro didn't even show up to his own meet and greet. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
So from that point on out, I don't give a fuck if you know who I am or not. I'm making it my personal mission that, like, I'm going to get to the point where, like, one day you're going to have to, like, do an interview on like a documentary about me. And you're going to be like, yeah, he was reaching out. I had the chance to sign him and I passed. You feel me?
Yeah.
And that's my personal mission. Like, my personal mission, like, is all those girls who told me I was ugly, all the
I feel you, bro. Revenge, motherfucker. Everything. Revenge.
Yeah. Revenge is best when it's not even for you. It's for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
what I'm doing is for me at the end of the day, but it's going to be so much sweeter, the fact knowing that you hate yourself because I did it.
Yeah, the best revenge is success, bro. Massive success. Feel me?
Exactly.
That's a cool little story, man, because that's just fuel to the fire, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I've had so many times, so many closed doors.
It's not going to stop, bro. It's going to all that shit. It's just
every time.
It's about perspective, though.
So. Bro, I went to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I went to Atlanta. I had an interview with, like, a famous, like, executive producer, right? Mm-hmm. And bro's like, yeah, man, I like the look. I like everything. Da-da-da. You got it. You got it. You got it. Da-da-da. Right? They like hyping me up, right? Never even heard my music. I get to the studio, I play like 3 songs, and it's weird because the whole time they vibing, like,
yeah.
They like this, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, yeah, yeah, but those ain't hits. Mm. So look, we gonna get you a writer, and we gonna get you a da-da-da. And I'm not stupid, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not. You feel me? I've sat in writing camps.
Yeah.
Like, I've sat next to some of, like, the greatest writers in the industry. You know what I'm saying? And that's just me, like, on a point where I'm not acting like I'm better than anybody by that or anything like that. Like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or any shit like that. I'm just saying that, like, I know for a fact what I have and what I don't have. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I told him straight up. I'm like, look, I agree that I could use help, maybe structuring a song, or maybe even a person to help me write a hit, like a real hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But to tell me that, literally, like, he clarified himself and all. And the funny thing is, I have the whole thing on voice recording, and I didn't even know I was voice recording.
Mm.
And he clarified it all. No. I mean somebody to write the whole song, put it on a page, and you read it.
Mm. How you feel about how that...
I'm like, no, you're not going to take everything creatively away from me.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, and this is where I realized that everybody in the industry is not going to see eye to eye with you.
Yeah.
I told him, I'm like, look, I respect everything you're saying and all. Mm-hmm. I respect everything you've done in your career, right?
Yeah.
And respectfully, I'm going to have to tell you that I can't make any type of deal with you because I take this too seriously.
Yeah.
This isn't just a paycheck for me.
Yeah.
It's not just a job. And if it was,
yeah,
I would lose my love for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I treated this just like a job, I would lose everything about it that makes me special at it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I told him that, and he just got so mad, bro. Mm. Well, we care about money around here. We making millions. Da-da-da-da-da. We care about this. We care about that. You ain't never seen me crying when I'm driving off in the Benz and da-da-da.
Yeah.
And it's great and all, bro. I get it. Like, I get it, bro.
Yeah,
I really do. I understand. And believe me when I tell you that I want those bust down chains and that Rolly just as bad as you do.
Yeah.
But if that's what I have to do to get it, if I can't be me to get it, then I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to find another way. You know what I'm saying?
Because you don't want to be the guy getting you know, getting your whole songs written for you. Like,
no, bro, I don't want to be the guy that at the end of the day finds out that they just signed me for 100% of my creative control and they tell me that I have to go get a face tattoo. You know that? Like, no, that really happens. Yeah. That really happens.
Oh, that's in their contract?
No, that really happens. If they own more than a certain percentage of creative control over you, and because when you sign an artist,
they can tell you
okay, so if you're an artist, right, and I'm a label, and I go, hey, I want to sign you to an artist deal. I'm not signing you for your music. I'm signing you for your image, your entirety, your likeness, your everything. Right. It belongs to me now. That's what a lot of their deals say, is like, everything about you belongs to us.
I own you, bitch.
You and every universal likeness and everything about you, we own now. And we own the right to use it. That's we own the right to change it, alter it, do whatever, right? Now, when they own like, I forgot what the actual percentage is, but when they own more than a certain percentage of your creative control, they could literally tell you, oh, shave your head right now. That's what's hot. Oh, go get a face tattoo. That's what's hot.
Oh, my God. I'll be sick.
No, what are you talking about? We're signing your paychecks. We own you.
God,
like,
scary.
We're here to make sure you blow up at any cost, at any and all costs.
Yeah.
You feel me?
You've been offered to get signed?
I've been offered a couple of deals, but it was nothing that I was, like, even, like, considering. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, I've never had a team. Before recently, you know what I'm saying? I've never had a team, and when I was hot, when I was really hot, you know what I'm saying? That was the thing. I just had no team, and I wasn't putting out music, and
you still
I
don't really put out a lot of music.
Man, it's definitely gonna change. It's changing, man. I'm putting out the album this year on my birthday. You feel me?
Hey, what's that song called? I really like this song. The song you performed for in front of all those kids. But I was listening to it on the way here. With you.
Best for You?
Best for You. I like that song, man. That's a good one.
Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you, man. I put a lot of time into that.
Yo, I watched that video too. Was that weird? Performing in front of all those kids.
No, man, I felt good. I felt good, man. Okay. Honestly,
it's
that's
just because it's like a different. Well, I guess you're like numb to like you've
I'm
seen
known to so many environments, bro. Literally, like I've made my living off being able to adapt to my surroundings, off being able to like entertain everybody and anybody. Right. You know what I'm saying? I got literally people walking up to me every night when I'm doing my little freestyle shows, and they're like, "Bro, I don't even like rap music.
Yeah.
Like I'm 65 years old." You think I listen to rap music?
Yeah,
but I love you.
Like, that's dope, bro. That's super dope. Is street performing lucrative? Would you tell a youngster to go out there and make some money? Or is it just, or it's kind of like if? I guess if they suck,
the money isn't all you got to take into consideration.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of other shit that comes with it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, like, territorial bullshit, at least out here.
Like, this is my corner type shit?
No, for real. Like, you know, I got an open case pending right now for out there.
For what? Oh, just for performing and, like, in the wrong place or something?
No, for a battery.
Real? Like you had a heckler?
Yeah, I can't go too much into detail, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's a lot of bullshit that be out there.
I could imagine.
That comes with the
drunk assholes and shit.
Well, it's like, at the end of the day, anywhere you can make money, there's going to be another person wanting to make money, right? Then there's a food chain. And when one person doesn't remember that there's a food chain, then that's where you have problems. That's not where I have had my problems, but that's where a lot of people have problems out there.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying?
Politics and
like,
shit with the street.
There's politics. There's politics to everything.
Yeah,
you feel me?
Yeah, I can
imagine. If you're selling drugs, like you don't go sell drugs on somebody else's block. Like that doesn't work. You feel me?
Like, I never thought of street.
You go and get checked. And it's honestly, it's very, very like that. Like street performing is very, very much like drug selling culture.
Yeah.
You know, they're not selling drugs. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying that, like,
the way
that it operates, you have to think. What you're doing is you're selling a show to a bunch of people who never wanted the show in the first place. Think of it like a hustler on the street corner selling drugs to a bunch of people who never even knew they wanted drugs in the first place.
You got a product. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a product but I'm not even giving you a product. I'm giving you an experience. That's what you're selling. Just as someone who sells drugs is selling you an experience. Bro, these are going to get you high. Yeah. My music is going to make you turn, or my music is going to make you sad, or you have to have a selling point, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, what you're doing is you're literally taking your craft, you're putting it on a selling point, you're saying, look, I'm selling you this experience. You feel me?
Yeah.
And now you're going to buy into this. You're going to give me all your money because you're addicted to this experience.
You're
addicted to what I'm doing for your ego, or you're addicted to, like, the feeling that I make you have. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, bro. I would never think, like, you know, for street performers. But I guess, like, that is the way, like, you know, you're fighting for the audience. You're fighting for...
Anywhere, like, money is involved, people are going to have egos. And anywhere egos are involved, like, people are going to fight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not even just a fight. I mean, like, I've had a lot of legal trouble, too, when it comes to, like, literally before I turned 18, I had over 9 tickets for street performing. And they all got thrown out of court.
Yeah.
They all got dismissed. Nothing on my record.
Yeah.
Because each time they're like, bro, I don't even know why they're sending you here. This is not, like, illegal. Like,
did they write you up, like, on the spot?
No, I got real tickets. Like, real. I had to go to real court.
Bro? Why are they hating?
You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Because at the end of the day, like, it's even like this. You got to think, right? So... You would think casinos fuck with us because we keep people around.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
we keep people on the block. It's 3 a.m. and people are still out of shows.
Yeah,
so they're still going and getting drinks, right? That's how we think.
Exactly.
Casinos don't think like that.
Yeah.
Casinos think, no, you just took $100 from this person. Mm-hmm. That's $100 that they're not going to spend on a machine. They're not going to spend on a drink.
True.
They're not going to spend on whatever, right? So
I think it's hip-hop, too. They don't like hip-hop.
Bro, it's everything all in one, and I'm telling you, you know what I'm saying? It's so much chaos out there, and that's why I wouldn't recommend it to a youngster. And that's, like a young person coming up.
Like Breezy? You wouldn't take him out there?
No, definitely not. It's just not the environment.
Yeah,
it's not the environment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
you gotta have thick skin.
Real thick skin, you feel me? Like, if I wasn't raised in the place that I was raised, or if I wasn't in the environment that I was at before that, like, I definitely... And, I mean, on top of that, it's a God-given blessing that literally, like, my older brother, my blood brother, happened to be a 6'7" literal armed security guard.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So he started working for me. I started paying him out there, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's
so
good to have.
Yeah.
Out there,
well, I established that, you know what I'm saying? I established that early because no matter what, you know, you look after who's in the family and you keep it in the family.
Yeah, that's
you feel
better,
me? So, you going to do security? Well, I need security. Just security for me.
Yeah.
You feel me? And so that's how we got our whole little team. That's how everything started originally, you know what I'm saying? It started with me, the guy out there with a backpack, Brandon, and...
Oh, he's been with you for that long?
Yeah, he's been with me since the...
Oh, dope. That's
the fucking...
Dope. Yeah.
The mud, like the mud. We were on the bus together, just the two, just me and him, dragging around a karaoke speaker down the strip.
Yeah.
Like, not even Fremont.
Dope, that's dope, bro. So why don't you put out a lot of music?
Man, well, for a while, I was caught up in a little contract with the show, and told me, like, if I put anything out, then they own it.
Oh.
So I was like, why the fuck am I going to put something out?
What the fuck?
That was greedy of me, bro. I should have just put shit out because the content would have paid me, bro. I would have got paid just because of everything else. You know what I'm saying?
So if you would have put out music independently... On your own after a year, they would have owned it.
Yeah.
What type of weird ass?
Basically,
shit is that?
Basically, it's like a label does too. So a label will tell you, they'll be like, so if I'm a little label and I'm coming to you, then you want to sign to a bigger label, right? Well, I'm gonna need a check because I got you to the point to sign to a bigger label.
And they know that big label got the money. So.
Exactly. So it's just like, oh, okay. You got all this clout off the show for free.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, like, we're going to reap benefits off you even after.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like, a lot of people don't know, they literally fucking took down my performance video where it was all my performances on the show because it had so many views that they wanted to repost it and remilk it a second time. So they reposted it like a year later,
still,
and it still got like 12 million.
Yeah.
Because
a
year later, it was still, like people were still watching it for the first time.
Dope.
You know what I'm saying? I still get people today who are like, man, I just seen your shit for the first time.
Yeah,
like,
when Chef hit me and told me that you were down to come on, I revisited everything. Because I remember watching that show with my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom loves you,
like,
bro.
Even if you look at the edit, bro. I appreciate that, by the way. But even if you look at the edit, like, they put, like a whack-ass video of me performing on Fremont at the end. That wasn't there in the original one. And the original one, it had all the cuts, like, all the cut scenes, like, like all cut out and like the voting and shit in it. It was like a 30-minute video, and it had like, I think it had like 32 million when they posted or when they took it down.
Yeah, that was a special moment for a lot of us here in Vegas, because, you know, like I've been in the scene for like 5 years, you know, doing, you know, dibbling dabbling, whatever the case is, and you know, we've all been to Fremont. And we've all seen Dylan Jacob perform
at some point in your life.
Like, being, especially, you know, as a native, you know, like, I love the city so much that anything happens, like, I'm paying attention, anything going on. And then when you popped up on and you're performing in front of Diddy and Khaled and Megan Trainor loved you. I was watching it. She was going crazy every line she said.
For real. Megan Trainor still follow me to this day. Oh, shout out Megan Trainor, because Megan Trainor is...
She was head
that lady him. For
yeah,
real.
Yeah, but I remember that whole experience, and like, you know, I was like, damn, bro. Like, from the, like, it's you're on such a unique path coming from street performing,
especially coming from Vegas, man.
Yeah, coming from Vegas even more. Yeah,
I tell everybody, man. I'm like it's weird, because like in Vegas, it sounds so cliche, but it's really like a roll of the dice city.
Yeah.
Like, you really roll the dice with what you get. Like, you can have somebody who is privileged their whole life come from Vegas. Mm-hmm. You can have somebody who's never had shit their whole life come from Vegas. You can have somebody from right in the middle. Like, every walk of life, there is people in Vegas. Like, and not one person, multiple people. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I feel like makes Vegas so diverse, but also like, it makes us so like great at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think Vegas is the only place that I've ever actually seen like so many, and you know, I've done hours on hours of just seeing like different types of people associate with each other, because it's just the vibe of Vegas.
Yeah.
And literally, you see, like, you hear people say all the time, well, it's Vegas.
Yeah.
Like,
do whatever we want. Whatever.
When in Vegas, it's like that when in Rome shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I think that's cool. I think that even though I wish there was more stuff that we had to ourselves, you know what I'm saying? I still think it's cool when people come here and like, it makes them act completely differently. Yeah. Yeah. Like, even out of character, but like, it makes them like, yeah.
But that's what our allure is. That's our selling point. That's
exactly.
Our product. That's
exactly.
Our product.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's our product.
Yeah, man. That's dope, bro. What was I about to ask you? Fuck. Oh yeah. So you coming from like street performing and freestyling? How is the trend? Have you always made songs, or was there a transitional period, and how is that like?
I always made songs. They weren't always good.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So you were, like, better at freestyling in the beginning than you were at making a song?
I would say it was one of those things where it was just, like I said, I couldn't tell you when I got good. It was just a point where it was like,
yeah,
I got good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you still feel like you're better at freestyling than songs? Or you feel like
sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just because, okay, you have to think. We live in a generation of tiny... like real, real small attention spans.
Yeah.
Right? So people want some turned up shit, some TikTok shit, some 10 seconds, get to the point and get out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I have a lot of music that's like deep, like there's subconscious meaning, it's subliminal messages tucked away and little things, you know what I'm saying? And so when I think about it, I'm like, I know my music is tight. You know what I'm saying? But does it move people the same as my freestyle moves people?
Yeah.
Not all the time, but it's because it doesn't connect all the time the same, especially when you're in that environment of, like, you... Most of the time, if you have a crowd put together, they're trying to turn up.
Yeah.
You feel me? So you need to play some turned up shit.
Right. Do you struggle with, like, oh, this is what people expect from... Like, people just want to see, like... Like, they want to see, like, a monkey swing from a tree. They don't want to see a monkey, like, fucking, you know, throw a baseball, you know?
Exactly,
That's what they want to
You know, I've told everybody, I'm like, my thing is just growth. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to surround myself with not only people, but supporters and you know, I consider, like, my fans, like, my family and shit because, like, I tell them more than I tell my own family half the time, you know what I'm saying? So, but I want to surround myself with people that understand that, like, just because I'm this Dylan today doesn't mean I have to be the same Dylan tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I might not be the same as I am 2 years ago or as I might not be the same as I am yesterday, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But everything is about growth and, like, the
journey.
The journey, you know what I'm saying? And so that's what I just try to focus on, is I try to focus on the fact of, like, right now, the box is the TV.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the box for me. Everybody wants to see me on the floor, or they want to see me doing the raps that I did from the floor.
Yeah.
But it's funny because, like, if half of those people were to really sit down and go through a catalog with me of music, they would like my music more, you know what I'm saying? One of something I have, because I have something for everybody.
Yeah,
you feel me? But it's like one of those things where it's my own fault. I didn't put the content out for them.
Right.
So what did they have to judge me on?
Exactly.
They had that, and that's where they discovered me from. That's what blew up. Mm-hmm. So that's what everybody is gonna go back to, and that's what's gonna like bring everybody home, is that, like, I found you here.
Yeah.
You're known for this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I want this from you, but I'm trying to really break that mold out of artists.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I would imagine you would, because, you know, you're still so young. And, like, you've been doing that, and you're growing, and you're changing as a person, as a man. And, like, you know, you're not going to be street performing forever, you know. But, or are you? Are you still street performing today?
Yeah, I'm still street performing right now. Yeah. Definitely not going to be street performing forever, though.
Okay, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to, like, break that image and that mold and what people and people's expectations, but you're still so young, bro. You got plenty of time, man.
Like I said, I mean, I feel like it's an industry expectation.
Yeah,
it's
like,
you know, you have to think, at the end of the day, labels say, okay, this is hot.
Yeah.
You made a song that's hot, so we're gonna just recreate this over and over and over and over and over again till it's not hot no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then when it's not hot no more, we'll try something else, and if it doesn't work, we'll drop you.
Yeah.
You feel me? And so that's what the industry is, and that's what I'm trying to shy away from, is I'm trying to let people know that, like, bro, even as artists, we're people.
That's
what we are. We're people. We go through shit just like you.
Yeah.
We go through phases of our life. Like, sometimes we want to have long hair. Sometimes we don't. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's hard a lot, because as an artist, you're put on this thing where it's like you have to be a character.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why, bro, we're losing so many of our, like, legendary artists, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
At such a young age, bro, is either they're depressed or they can't deal with life, or they find themselves in bad situations trying to fake a role that they weren't really into, you know what I'm saying? A life that they didn't really live for an image.
They fell into or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like at the end of the day, bro, like, that shit is killing us and our generation, and we gotta shy away from that. Like, we gotta understand that we're all people, bro.
Yeah.
We're all people.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why when you ask me, like, do you feel famous? I feel like Dylan, man.
Because
at the end of the day, you bleed just like I bleed.
Yeah.
You sweat just like I sweat. You feel the same emotions that I feel.
Yeah.
We might interpret it differently. We might act upon it differently. Other people might interpret it differently. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But for the whole part, we're the same, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's weird. Fame's a weird thing, like, and I mean, obviously I'm not famous, but I haven't even gotten nowhere near, but it's like, you know, you seem like you really got a good head on your shoulders, and you're prepared for, you know, I think, like, what you've accomplished now is a great preparation for what you have in the future.
Yeah, it's a good stepping stone.
So it doesn't, like, hit you like a ton of bricks, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure, because that's the thing, is, like, there has to be a story, bro, because as fast as stuff that can come as fast as
you really
can
have
go.
A story, though. You really do.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, all this time that I'm spent struggling, that's just more time that if they decide that this is going to get taken from me, well, you're going to have to give me some time, because I didn't get this shit fast.
Right.
So it's not going to go fast either.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like
you just started early as a motherfucker, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like I'm just young, and I've been grinding since way younger, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I tried to always be wise. Like, that was one thing that my dad always told me that, like, I kept through my life. My dad was like, smart people are going to learn from their own mistakes. Mm-hmm. And wise people are going to learn from others.
Yeah.
Sad he couldn't take his own advice, but... Yeah.
That's how it always goes.
That's some real shit, though.
No, 100%. Yeah.
Like, you don't always have to make the same mistakes that other people have to make.
You don't
got to
learn the hard way if you don't.
Yeah. And you don't always have to experience the same experience that other people had to experience just to have that experience.
Yeah.
Like, I can vividly depict things that I've never been in or lived through, but I literally watched people go through myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
so it's like... So it's like I felt what they felt. As artists, we're empaths. You know what I'm saying? We feel empathy.
Yeah.
That's what we do. And then we recycle that and put it into a story or into a picture or a visual through music. You know what I'm saying? That's why music speaks so many different languages.
Yeah.
It's because you feel music.
Yeah.
You know? It's about an energy.
Yeah, well, good music. There's a lot of trash-ass music out there that don't make me do shit. But make me want, that gives me a headache, you know what I'm saying? But yo, I do feel like one more question, and we'll wrap this up. But do you feel about the state of music and like how your music fits in? Do you feel like your sound? Do you feel like it? You know, you feel like you have your own lane, or do you feel like you have to like cater to a certain sound that's hot? Or
Like I said, I try to grow within myself, and that has to go through my music, you know? Otherwise, I can't grow. Like, that was my problem for so long, is I used music as therapy more than I did business, you know? So I would make music for myself before I'd make music for other people. That's why I wasn't putting it out, and I wasn't worried about putting it out. It's because I was like, I'm cool, because in my mind, I'm unstoppable. You put me on the street with a bucket and a microphone and a speaker, and I'm going to make money.
Yeah.
And I'm not only going to make money, I'm going to make enough money to, like, not only support my family, but be able to pursue my dreams and live, like, what I think is somewhat comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in my head, I have to make music that speaks to me at that moment, whether it's, you know, whether it's in what everyone wants right now or whether it's just something that, like, I personally want to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I take personal on, like, the type of vibes that I put out into the world and the type of vibes that I surround myself with, you know?
Yeah.
I never try to be, like, oh, this is hot, so this is what I need to do right now.
Yeah.
You know, because if I do that, I'm just going to be so shaped by everything around me that I'm going to lose the actual shape of who I am and the being that I am at the end.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. You got to keep that, bro. You got to keep that because it's easy to fall into it. And but because those fads, they come and go. You feel
yeah, me? Exactly.
Like, what's hot right now is not going to be hot next year. So
exactly.
So, well, shout out to Chef, man. Let's wrap this up. You got any more? We've been going for a minute. You got any more? You got anything you want to shout out before we get up?
Hey, man, look, keep your eyes posted. The Sweet Life of Dylan Jacob coming out December 18th on my birthday this year. I turned 19, and I'm giving y'all my first project, so it's a special one for me. And we dropping Bag Ready December 4th, so that's 3 days away. And I got more shit for you. I got another song dropping before the album. I can't even think of what it is right now.
Hold up, Chef sent me the whole rundown. Hold on. It's you got that one on the July 4th. Come on, you stupid fucking phone.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Okay, no, he said solo single, A Memory, December 11th. Part 2 to the Sweet Life blog, December 12th.
Okay.
Album, December 18th. Y'all, I feel like your assistant right now, bro.
Hey, look, y'all heard it. Y'all heard it straight from the man. Y'all heard it straight from the man. Look, you got the part 2 to the Sweet Life, December 12th.
Yep.
You got A Memory dropping December 11th.
Yep.
We got Bag Ready dropping December 4th. I got The Sweet Life of Dylan Jacob dropping December 18th. So
merch available on the website Christmas.
Merch available on the website. We got a Christmas discount going on, 10% off if you do Xmas. You know what I'm saying? Got everything going right now. You know what I'm saying? Just make sure y'all tune in, watch the journey of Dylan Jacob, because it's going to be a long one, but it's going to be a good one for sure.
Hey, I appreciate you coming through, man. You know, it was really great to really, you know, sit down and have a conversation with you. You know, we've all been watching your journey for years now. So, I feel honored, and my door's always open for you, man.
Hey,
for
man,
real.
I appreciate that. Sir.
Till next time, man.
Yes, sir. Ski.
Woo! Is this Chef right here?
That's a wrap.
Is that?